Okay, great. Time to continue now. The classic tale of the Prince and the Pauper by Mark Twain. I love this story. The beginning bit is a bit sort of depressing and everything, but it sort of picks up a little bit, I think. It's definitely got a sort of David Copperfield feel to it, but, you know, sort of depressing and everything. But I do love the story, all in all, you know. I love it more than I hate it, put it that way. So by and by, Tom's reading and dreaming about princely life wrought such a strong effect upon him that he began to act the prince unconsciously. His speech and manners became curiously ceremonious and courtly, to the vast admiration and amusement of his intimates, his friends, his family. But Tom's influence among these young people began to grow now, day by day, and in time he came to be looked up to by them with a sort of wondering awe as a superior being. He seemed to know so much, and he could do and say such marvellous things, and withal he was so deep and wise. Tom's remarks and Tom's performances were reported by the boys to their elders, and these also presently began to discuss Tom Canty and to regard him as the most gifted and extraordinary creature. Full-grown people brought their perplexities to Tom for solution, were often astonished at the wit and wisdom of his decisions. In fact, he was to become a hero to all who knew him, except his own family. These only saw nothing in him. Privately, after a while, Tom organized a royal court. He was the prince. His special comrades were guards, chamberlains, equerries, lords and ladies-in-waiting, and the royal family. Daily the mock prince was received with elaborate ceremonials borrowed by Tom from his romantic readings. Daily the great affairs of the mimic kingdom were discussed in the royal council, and daily his mimic highness issued decrees to his imaginary armies, navies, and the like. After which he would go forth in his rags and beg a few farthings, eat his poor crust, take his customary cuffs and abuse, and then stretch himself upon his handful of foul straw and resume his empty grandeurs in his dreams. And still his desire to look just once upon a real prince in the flesh grew upon him day by day, week by week, until finally it absorbed all other desires and became the one passion of his life. One January day, on his usual begging tour, he tramped despondently up and down the region, round about Mincing Lane and Little East Cheap, hour after hour, barefooted and cold, looking in at cookshop windows and longing for the dreadful pork pies and other deadly inventions displayed there, for to him these were dainties fit for the angels. That is, judging by the smell, they were, for it had never been his good luck to own and eat one. There was a cold drizzle of rain. The atmosphere was murky. It was a melancholy day. At night, Tom reached home so wet and tired and hungry, it was not possible for his father and grandmother to observe his forlorn condition and not be moved. After their fashion, wherefore they gave him a brisk cuffing at once and sent him to bed. For a long time his pain and hunger, and the swearing and fighting going on in the building, kept him awake, but finally his thoughts drifted away too far, romantic lands, and he fell asleep in the company of jewelled and gilded princelings, who live in vast palaces and had servants, all are flying to execute their orders. And then, as usual, he dreamed that he was a princeling himself. Well, we take a little break there. More from The Prince and the Pauper in the next edition of the English programme.